Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, November 12, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. We're on page 58, fourth paragraph there that says, remember that we deal with alcohol through that one paragraph ending with, may you find him now. And comments will be on that one paragraph. So today's readers are 12 Steps, Karen W., 12 Traditions, Herbert F., Danny P. will be reading the text, Lynn S. reading page 164, and Ilana P. is our backup reader. So the newcomer greeter will be Chris W., and our second hour host is Christine G. The reference number for yesterday, got your pen and paper ready, for Monday, November 11th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 21902, 21902, and the 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 21903, 21903. So, OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, y'all. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas, a grateful compulsive overeater in recovery for today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
Know where it is?
No. Where
it is. We've got people talking.
On Witt Road.
Well, go ahead and finish, Karen. Karen, are you still there? Star one.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'll start at nine. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen W. Sorry about that interruption. If everybody can please make sure your phone is muted by pressing star one. That would be so helpful. All right. So, still somebody unmuted. Star one, please.
Good morning. This is Herbert. I'm ready to read the traditions.
Okay, Herbert, I was just going to introduce you. You're up. Go.
Thank you. I'm Herbert, a compulsive overeater from New Mexico, and here are the 12 traditions of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. Our group purpose. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Public relations policy is based upon attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Herbert. All right, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask you keep the sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Okay, so today we resume our study of Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in How It Works. Page 58, fourth paragraph, remember that we deal with alcohol through that one paragraph ending with may you find him now. And comments will be on that one paragraph. And this morning, Danny P. is going to get us started. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Callie. Can I be heard?
You can.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. So I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, owned by God's grace and mercy, and I'm calling from Brazil. Very grateful to read this paragraph today. I'm very grateful that this paragraph was changed by the original that Bill wrote, you know, toning down instead of remember the true deal. Without help, it's too much for you. But there is one who has all power. You must find him now. So this was rewritten for someone exactly like me, someone who's very arrogant, very resistant to follow direction. So I love the tone of this paragraph, because it convinces me that, yes, food is very cunning, very baffling, very powerful. It's always, it has amazing skills to deceive me. It's certainly very perplexing because it gives me the 10 seconds of ease and comfort. And it, although it's destroying my life, it's always convincing me to go back. So it is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And without help, it is too much for me. Especially without the adequate help, like relying on my own resources, on my self-sufficiency, relying on my self-knowledge, relying on any human resources. This is without help for me. So I need something else. I need something that is more powerful than food. And this is God. This is a power greater than myself. And at this moment, I just finished step two, so I'm convinced there is a power. There is a power greater than myself that can restore my sanity, that can help me. And I need this power. I need this help. May I find him now. May I make this decision now to turn my will and my life over to his care, to his direction. May I make this decision and take action on this decision. Just to make the decision is not enough. I need to take action so I can find him. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thanks for getting us started. That's Danny P. from Brazil. Okay, guys, so we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share. And please remember to keep your share to the paragraph we read today and to keep them 3 minutes. So who would like to share on the paragraph today?
Lulu L.
Holy smokes. Hold on.
Katie G.
Okay, everybody stop. Everybody stop. Here we go. This is what I got. Not very many. I got Katie, Melissa, Tina, Harlan, and Lulu. And a lot more were going on. So if I didn't say
Julie M. New York.
Julie M.
Sonia S.
Vasa O.
Sarah G. Okay.
Kelly G.
Kelly B. Christine.
N. Yes.
N. N as in Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. So here's who I have. Katie, Melissa, Tina, Harlan, Lulu, Julie, Sonia, Vasa, Sarah, Kelly, Christine. Did you already say your name and I just didn't get it? Let me know. Okay, so when you come on, make sure you give me the initial of your last name because I couldn't write that fast, and where you're calling from. So let's get started. We'll get started on this KDG followed by Melissa. Good morning, Katie.
Kelly, thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. This is KDG from Boston, and I love this paragraph. You know, remember that we deal with food cunning. So that means to achieve through deceit. So I have a disease that wants me dead and will settle for me eating. I have a disease that centers in my mind. It tells me stories about people, places, and things. Most significantly, it tells me stories that this diet soda, this gum, this exercise, this laxative, it's not going to hurt you this time, Katie. It's going to make you feel better. They're all wrong. They're out to get you, right? So I have a disease that is deceitful. I have a disease that is baffling. It is extremely confusing and difficult to understand. A normal person, if you told them to stop eating a food that was killing them, they might be like, oh, that's really unfortunate. Frustrating, but it's not fatal. For me, like I spent so much time defending my right to eat certain foods because that was the best I could do every single day, is think that a certain food was going to make me better, right? And finally, it's powerful, which means to have influence and control over me. So a lot of times, like, I would think, oh my gosh, I can't find God. I don't have that ability. Well, the thing is, the disease had control over me. Like, if you're, when I was struggling to find a power greater than me, what I didn't realize is that food and exercise and the scale, they were a power greater than me. So I don't need a power greater than me. I need even more. I need a power greater than food. I need a power greater than anorexia. I need a power greater than the stuff that I used in program to fill that hole in the soul. And my favorite part about the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous is it tells me three things. Where can you find God? Deep down inside. When can you find God? Here it is, now. Right? So when I'm swirling in my head and the wheels are turning, he likes me, he doesn't like me. You know, I'm a please love me-aholic. I'm a don't leave me-aholic, right? I'm not in the now. So I can't hear God. May I find him now? And someone's unmuted and breathing in my ear. So I need to do the step work to get out of myself. And finally, how do I find God? Well, this is how it works, right? This is the process. For me, I went through 1 through 12. I live in 10, 11, and 12, 10, 4 through 9 all the time. And I get to have a God greater than the me and greater than the food. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing, Katie G. And sorry about the heavy breather. Please, everybody, make sure you're muted. Star 1. I'll give everybody a break here. Okay, so next up we have Melissa C., followed by Tina. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Kelly. Thank you so much for your service this morning. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and I think, okay, they're talking about food, right? Cunning, baffling, powerful. And it sounds, you know, like personification of it's food. What do you mean it's cunning, it's baffling, and it's powerful? That sounds like characteristics of a person, you know? But for someone like me, yeah, food was, you know, a person. It took on an entity way beyond just what I put in my mouth. And I think, you know, for someone who doesn't have this disease, talking about food in those terms makes no sense. But for those of us who do, you know, I heard it said one time that food was the dinner guest that that made me pay attention to only it. No one else at the table got my attention. It was like the star of the show. And you know, and so I think, like, what does that mean that food is cunning and baffling and powerful? And you know, for me, my experience with this disease is that every time I picked food back up again, every time I found myself in relapse, it never occurred with the cupcake, you know. And I would say my experience working with others proves to be the same thing, that seems very clear, you know, that the first compulsive bite for someone like me was never the chocolate. It was cunning, it was baffling, it was powerful. It was subtle ways that I moved away from doing the things that my recovery requires. It was the small, seemingly harmless things that I did, generally in secrecy. You know, don't bother telling my sponsor for me that I changed the food, that I, you know, didn't really weigh it, that I just sort of wung it. You know, I didn't ask what was in it. And then little by little, for someone like me, my integrity would be gone, you know. And once, and like, you know, the food, I say it's like this, you get away with it a little bit, you know, and it's sort of like the secret. And it's like, shh, don't tell anybody. And then before you know it, my experience was I was back in the food. And the only thing that can keep me from repeating those ridiculous, small, subtle, sideways shuffles away from my abstinence and recovery is God. That is it. Because if I don't find God, if I don't have a relationship with God, my mind at some point in time will always believe the ridiculous, you know, subtle, seemingly harmless lie. And so this entire program is about the necessity for finding a relationship with God. You know, my step one understanding is always comes down to, I require a miracle, that with on my own power, I cannot do this. And thankfully, we have 12 easy steps. I would say simple, not easy, steps that can form a relationship with God. And thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. That's Melissa C. from New York. Next, we have Tina, followed by Harlan. Good morning, Tina.
Thanks so much, Kelly, for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Awesome, great shares. You know, ditto, ditto, ditto. You know, when I read this, you know, it always reminds me that when I came here, I did not come here to find God. I just didn't. So the truth, that's the truth. And so for a very long time, you know, I came originally into OA in 1987, and my abstinent date is 1999, so there's a few years there, you know. And so I thought somehow, you know, I think I know, you know, I think I know better. You know, that's why it keeps telling me, remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it's too much for us, you know. And I'm glad that it was changed to us and not you, because I would be saying you, not me. So it's us. You know, and it is cunning, baffling, and powerful. For many, many years, I thought, let's try this, let's try that, let's try this. And until I ran out of ideas, you know, I was screwed. I was continually in the food, you know. And then finally, I was just desperate and doomed, backed against the wall. No other answer, you know. So I finally was, do what you say. Let's just do what you say. And I love that that it was just talked about that these are 12 simple steps, not easy, but simple, you know, because they are. If I get myself out of the way, I follow directions, it's amazing what happens. A transformation comes about. I am a different person, you know, because they tell me the same person will eat again. That's the truth. That's my experience. The same person always ate again. Always ate again. And so when I started doing the work that I didn't want to do, still sometimes don't want to do, but do it anyway, I like the result. You know, I have a transformation. And then I start to cultivate a relationship with a power greater than myself, whom I choose to call God because it's simple. You know, and today I have a life beyond my wildest dreams that I'd have never thought would have happened. And all I have to do, all I have to do is put down my alcoholic foods, which today I am so grateful that, you know, most times they don't even call to me. I don't even want, you know, I have a food plan. I follow it, you know, again, whether I want to or not. But the result I get is a life today that, you know, and I get chills when I talk about it because I didn't come here to be useful. I didn't come here to be useful, you know, that I'm happy, joyous, and free, and I can be useful to others today. You know, that I can get out of myself. And the only way out is through the 12 steps. And that's just my experience. And I'm just so grateful to be online and really looking forward to some more shares. So with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Tina S. from Florida. Next up, we have Harlan G., followed by Lulu. Good morning, Harlan.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. What is the address of the disease? Where does the disease live? Let's boil it down to a few words. It says right here, without help, it is too much for us. Those simple words are the address of the disease. I get phone calls all the time from people that tell me, I'm a night eater. What can I do? I'm an emotional eater. What can I do? I can remember that without help, this is too much for us. Now, what kind of action do I have to take to remember that without help it is too much for us? Because when we say, remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful, what's the most important word there? Cunning, baffling, powerful? No. the most important word there is remember. Now, how do I remember? Because I have a disease that eradicates effectively any vestige of memory that I have the disease. And the only way for me to remember is to constantly, incessantly teach this to other people. And that means I have to sponsor. And that means I have to get through the steps quickly for me. Without help, it is too much for us. What does it say on page 43? Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. So I'm going to have a power greater than myself that I choose to call God, that I am going to work toward through these steps. And that power is going to enable me to not eat compulsively. Without help, it is too much for us. Without help, it is too much for us. I cannot repeat those words enough times because this is where the disease lives. Because every time I get into that boxing ring with my dukes up, with my trunks and my gloves on, and I try to go in there and fight the disease, I'm going to lose. I'm going to get creamed. But yet I cannot remember that. So the next time I want to eat candy or the next time I want to eat whatever, I'm going to get in the ring against the world champion disease, and I'm going to put my fists up, and I'm going to engage in a battle with the disease and lose again, but I cannot recall with sufficient force the horror, the memory of the binge of 10 minutes ago, 10 days ago, whatever it is. Without help, it is too much for us. This is the disease. This is the disease address. That's what I'm trying to say. This
That's
is the
Harlan.
Address of the disease. Thank you, Kelly, for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Harlan G. from Arizona. So next up, we have Lulu, followed by Julie M. Lulu, what's the initial of your last name, and where are you calling from?
Good morning. Kelly, thank you for your service. This is Lulu L. I am recovered for today in Florida. Kind of scary to follow Harlan, isn't it? I don't know if I have anything to say, but when I see those words, remember we deal with alcohol. For us, we deal with food. All food for me, cunning, baffling, and powerful. I was certainly baffled. And I tried 18 million things, just like many of us have, to try to be the one in power. Certainly, I'm smart enough. I'm intelligent enough. I can read. I can figure out a way to conquer this problem, but I couldn't. And so, you know, the first 300 times I read this paragraph, I just breezed over it, right? Without help, it's too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. Well, I thought I already had God. I wasn't playing hide and seek with God. May you find him now. I knew where God was located. But I didn't tap into the power that is. And it almost reminds me of the Herbert Spencer quote, on 568, you know, there's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. So I decided I needed to investigate this God thing, and how could God help me with something as minor as food, except that food, my disease inside my head, my allergy inside my body was not minor. It was wrecking my life on all fronts. And so when I finally read that sentence for the 301st time, I was like, oh, may you find him now. Not did you find him 20 years ago when you were sitting in Sunday school, and you saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That is, I need a God for this disease. I need a God to direct my life. And that is how I was able, at least for today, I'm able to stay food sober. I'm able to be abstinent. I'm able to have a vital spiritual experience today. And I can't tell you how grateful I am, because I was trying it on my own, thinking I was relying on this God, but I really wasn't. It was an idea of God, not a relationship with God. And so thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your service, Kelly. And I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to say. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lulu L. from Florida. So let's just take a minute to remind everybody where we're at. We are in How It Works, page 58, fourth paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol through that now. And keeping your comments on that paragraph, please. So now we have Julie M. followed by Sonia S. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, everyone. This is Julie M. from New York. A compulsive overeater, recovered for today but not cured. I can't believe that this chapter, this particular paragraph, is what I really needed to hear today in the comments around the room. And thank you, moderator. What a great meeting so far. You know, when I came into these rooms, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going on. All I knew was that I had a disease, and the disease of compulsive eating, and I didn't know why. Once I put a substance in my mouth, why I continued to eat, I had no idea the why. You know, and I've come to believe and to understand that this disease really brought me to my knees so many, many, many times, you know, begging God, please help me, you know, begging constantly on my knees. And then this last time when I was on my knees begging again, and self-pity and self-loathing and self-centered, and, you know, asking God again one more time. And I had the opportunity one more time to surrender to his will, to do the work in these rooms, to contact others, to learn from each other, to receive messages of hope and messages of gratitude. And with that, I found out that I'm not the power, right? So it says there, without help, it is too much for us. But there is one, right, the one, capital O, that has all the power, and that power really comes from God. It does not come from self. And with that, I am so grateful to all of you and your messages, and have a great day, everyone.
Well, thanks so much, Julie M. from New York. So next up, we have Sonia S., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Sonia. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Sonia S. from Pennsylvania, and thank you for sharing, and thank you, everyone, for being here. And what comes to mind is the urgency of finding God. And I honestly never thought that I would find a God and find recovery in OA or any food group, because I struggled for 13 years in another food program. But this time around, I hit a bottom. It was a real emotional bottom. I was in so much mental turmoil that it was absolutely necessary that I find a God now. And for me, this is a disease of negative thinking. And before I even pick up that bite, my mind starts to go crazy. And so having a higher power walking with me, helping me think straight, is so important, because this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and I can't do it by myself. So what I started sponsoring quickly, and I work my tools. And so I am grateful for that, and I'm grateful for all of you. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Sonia S. from Pennsylvania. Okay, next up we have Vasa O. followed by Sarah G. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Florida. We are in Florida right now. thank you for everybody's shares, and this is very powerful paragraph. And I remember when I came to my first meeting and going, you know, as a newcomer, and I paid attention a lot how the program worked. I came to the program. I had the gift of desperation. I had hit bottom. There was nothing more I could try that I hadn't tried or that I hadn't. Somebody is unmuted. Please press star one to mute. Or somebody else, you know, everything I could identify. I felt so home when I came to my first meeting. And I love this paragraph. Remember that we deal with alcohol. For me, I scratched alcohol and I put food. Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And I was ready. I will surrender. I will surrender to God. I will surrender to anybody from this killing disease, which I didn't even know they called the disease or the allergy of the body. There was a name for it. Finally, I knew I had a disease. And if I surrender to a power greater than myself, I will get the help. And I remember my sponsor took me to my first meeting. She says, this is the only way, Vasa. We have to find power greater than ourselves. And this is the only thing I want from you, just to pass it on. I don't want money. I don't want nothing from you, just to pass it on. Well, it took me a while before I could pass it on. I needed to get first before I could start passing on. And she said to me, mark your calendar. It was October 25th, 1986. She said, mark your calendar. This is going to be your abstinent day. And it was 10 o'clock coming home from my first meeting. And I marked my calendar. And I did go and surrender to the, you know, whatever, God, higher power, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't care who you are out there. Please help me. I did have a spiritual experience, but that was the beginning. I didn't know what this God was going to strike me down or raise me. And he raised me, and I was lost, and I was found. So that was the beginning, and I needed more. The steps, they're all here. And I did my first three steps. I can, he can, and I will let him. And then I need to go to step four. The way they laid out, I wish I could tell you it was easy. I wanted to eat so bad. Thank you. I'll wrap it up. I wanted to eat so bad the next day. I surrendered, but I asked God, give me the power, give me the strength. Get me from one meal to the next. Thank you for letting me share in our past.
Thank you so much, Vasa O from Florida. Okay, next up we have Sarah G, followed by Kelly B. Good morning, Sarah. Where are you calling from?
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah G, excuse me, calling from New York. Very grateful to be on this meeting and for cleaning my seat. I can even say, even just this morning, I was on the phone with a close family member, and I said to her, well, I'd rather speak to you, but I'm not. I'm going to go on the meeting. And that was me saying no to the disease and saying yes to God. And I'm just so grateful and just wanting to notice when there is resistance and notice, you know, because this is a very powerful, baffling, and cunning disease. And I need to follow the directions of the book and my sponsor and listening to all of you and your wonderful shares. And, I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah G. from New York. So next up we have Kelly B., followed by Christine N. Good morning, Kelly. Where are you calling from?
I think it might be Kelly G.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure it is because I thought it was your voice, but then I thought, well, maybe it was somebody else. So no, it was
That's
you.
Okay. Thanks so much. This is Kelly G, recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And I love what this says, right? So it's, remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. And those were adjectives about myself. I walked around thinking that I am cunning, baffling, and powerful. I am greater than everything in this world. And what is so humbling and mind-blowing to me was when I realized that, you know what? An M&M is greater than me and my power. That tiny little thing has more power over me than I do over it. And that was really, that really put me in my place because I realized that I am so powerless over food. And it is the only thing in my life that I really couldn't get a grip on. I can control, I can manage, I can use my will and my power to overcome things, to do well in school, to get my way. But when it came to the food, I was nothing. It had that remote control over me. So for me, it's just all about knowing that I am nothing and I need a power greater than myself because everything regarding this disease is greater than me. And once I know that, once I take step one and I realize that I am powerless and my life is unmanageable, once I take that step, that little M&M loses its power because it's not a decision anymore. I'm not in the boxing ring where it's like me or that. I know that that will always win. So I give up that fight because I have something more powerful than me. My crutch is now that higher power that I know can take over anything. So it's such a freedom and it's such a blessing that I don't even have to get in the boxing ring and that I know how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease is and I don't mess with it. And I'm so grateful that I have that unwavering strength that is greater than me, that is greater than any food, that is louder than the disease's voice. And the only way it got louder than the disease's voice is me continuously ignoring that disease voice. And I had to get further and further away from it and turn down the volume. And I couldn't turn down the volume. What turned down the volume is working these steps, working with others, doing service, following my food plan, doing counterintuitive actions that went against what the disease wanted me to do. When it said, Kelly, hate yourself, eat more, I tried to do something soothing for myself. Disease said, you suck. You are not worth it. You're never going to get this. It was making a call to a fellow and just crying, hearing a sentiment of hope on the other line, right? So
that's
it's all
fine,
about,
Kelly.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Kelly G from Florida. Next up, we have Christine N, and then we'll have some time for some more shares. Good morning, Christine. Where are you calling from?
Oh, good morning. Yes, I'm Christine N. I'm calling from Southern California.
All right.
I'm just enthralled by all these shares, the depth like kindred spirits. You know, for me, I actually haven't shared before. So this is the first time, but I listen regularly. For me, this paragraph, is significant because it's the first thing I ever heard or remember hearing. I was, my recovery journey started in an eating disorder unit, and they, you know, bused us to many, many meetings. I don't know how many meetings I've been bused to, but I never heard anything. The first thing I ever heard was when a voice that came into the right side of my face from my right ear. I remember what direction it came in. It said, remember, we deal with food, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Those words, it kind of like perked me up. And I thought, what are they talking about? I mean, I kind of came awake at that moment when I heard those words, cunning, baffling, and powerful. And, you know, over the years, this was like 30-some years ago. So since then, I've thought about this section many times. Why was that so significant to me? And now it's like every word is like first word, remember. You know, that is significant because I'm so prone to forgetting. I have a great forgetter. So to remember on a daily basis, to remember what I'm dealing with. And like someone said earlier, when I thought, think of food, you know, it's sweet, sour, bitter, crunchy, hard, soft, delicious. I mean, those are the adjectives I would use to describe food. I wouldn't use cunning, baffling, and powerful because those describe a personality. And that made me think over the years, well, that's why this is called a spiritual program. And I had a spiritual disease because we're dealing with an entity, an adversary here that's cunning, baffling, and powerful. So I need protection from that. And then the book tells me that without help, I was, you know, in the eating disorder unit, not voluntarily, but that's where I first got help. I needed help. My disease kept me so secretive. And that was another first thing I heard, that I was sick. My God, I must be a real sick cookie because I do everything in secret. You know, I eat in secret. I hide. I eat in cars. I eat in bathrooms. I hide food. And, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimorexic. So I hid my vomit. You know, I hid everything. I found public bathrooms that would allow me to stay a long time without anybody needing it. I mean, so
Christine.
Oh, thank you. Time flies. Bless your heart.
Well, thank you for sharing. That was Christine N. from California. Okay, guys, we have time for a couple more shares. We're in How It Works, page 58, fourth paragraph. Remember, we deal with alcohol. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days and would like to share on this paragraph, we'd love to hear from you. Who'd like to share?
Aaron B. in Michigan.
Paul from Toronto.
Aaron. I only heard Aaron.
Paul from Toronto.
I can't
Lisa
hear.
Lisa B.
No voice, but Lisa B. There's some guy.
Loretta H.
You're a gentleman that sounds like
Paul from Toronto.
Speaker. Paul. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone, but all right, let's get started. We're going to do Aaron K, followed by Lisa B, maybe have time for Paul. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, Kelly. It's Aaron K, recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Good meeting. You know, something sparked in me as I was listening to shares and this concept of, yeah, I really came in, I was powerful over everything in my life except the food. Like this was just the one thing, if I can just get this in order, you know, I would be perfect. And, you know, that was a delusion. I you know, when I worked through the steps, I realized that I came to see, you know, not that I was powerless over food, therefore my life was unmanageable, but it was that I was powerless over so many aspects of my life that I was trying to rest, you know, maintain rest, power over. And therefore, my compulsive overeating had become unmanageable. You know, that this crutch that I was using to sate the feelings and the fears, like, you know, I'm powerless over, does he love me? Does she love me? You know, will my dad ever, you know, stop drinking? You know, will I get that, you know, promotion at work? I'm powerless over that stuff still. But, you know, the crutch that I had been using to manage all those fears had, you know, as the book tells us, turns around like a boomerang and it shreds us to pieces. You know, that was really what I came to see had happened in my life. And so, gosh, I needed help. And that help, it comes ultimately from a spiritual source, but it comes through a human conduit. I really believe that. And I laugh at myself and I think sometimes, because I can isolate thinking that I have power, that I'm okay, just me and God, say a little prayer, I'm fine. I don't need to call a fellow. I don't need to talk to my sponsor. I'm good. And God is like that scene from Jerry Maguire, and where Cuba Gooding Jr. is, you know, telling Tom Cruise, the characters, help me help you. Help me help you. And I laugh, but it's really true. I think, you know, the address of this disease is in my mind, and my mind can't cure my sick mind. So I need this double-pronged help. Ultimately comes from God. I need to seek every morning what I think God would have me do and be to stay out of the idea that I have power over what's going to happen, you know, during the day. But sometimes, you know, not sometimes, frequently, more than I do probably, I need to check my thinking with somebody who, you know, is not in my mind, in my life, and has clarity, and then give that back to someone else. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks so much, Erin K. from Michigan. Next up, Lisa B., and then we'll be followed by Paul. Good morning, Lisa. Where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Lisa B., recovered compulsive eater, overeater from Michigan also. That was a good paragraph for me. It talks about, for me, my memory is foggy and forgetful of the misery of my active disease. And in denial as well, minimizing, rationalizing, justifying, going back into the food and telling me that it wasn't that bad and that, but if I stay in meetings and connected with fellows and I get the reminders that I need of where I could go if I go back to the food. And also that God is or can be my savior from the disease and that he has all of the power because it's been my way and my MO and things like that to always try to run the show and to just, quote, figure it out. I mean, that's my go-to without even realizing that's what I'm doing half the time instead of going to my higher power for where the real power is. And when I'm learning to do that finally, to surrender, like somebody else says all the time. It's necessary, but it's easier said than done, for sure. I'm grateful to be in this program and abstinent and neutral and recovering a day at a time. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from Michigan. Next up, we have Paul from Toronto. Paul, what's the initial of your last name?
G.
All right, gotcha.
Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the meeting, and thank you, everybody, for doing service on the group. Compulsive overeater, my name is Paul in Toronto. Tuesday's my day. I like to plan my time. I'm in recovery in a couple different programs. Money and time is one of them. And so Tuesday, I designated as my share day on this meeting because I love how, you know, they suggest that not you don't share every day. So I really appreciate that. So I have abstinence again now. Been about 5 months. I listened to the meeting for about 3 months before I decided to share. Not that I was fearful or anything of sharing from the meeting. I just really felt so humbled, and this is not my first time in Vision or OA Vision. I just felt so humbled by all the shares, and I was just so grateful for them, and I was just taking it into my spirit and the deep core of my soul. And as I obtain abstinence again. I love this reading, just the brief paragraph. I love how we break it down at this meeting and cunning, baffling, and powerful. I had abstinence in 2014 for 3 years, and it was amazing. And I was sober a long time then, too. Like, I'm sober 35 years, but back then, I was sober. I was abstinence in OA. I was loving the meetings. And then my daughter got sick with cancer, Victoria, in 2017. And she was in Ottawa. And during that time, I started traveling there and back and forth from Toronto. And then I eventually moved there. And during that time, I just, you know, I lost my abstinence, and, you know, like, I never really threw myself into, sugar or flour too much, but I justified it periodically, and I lost my abstinence, and I got, you know, very involved in my daughter's illness, obviously, and Victoria passed away, sadly, 6 years ago, and, so for the last, since that time, I never really went back to my old eating patterns, but I kind of justified my eating out and that kind of stuff. So, and honestly, God is so powerful. Like, I did not know that I was coming back to OA 5 months ago. I didn't know that. I think it was one of the furthest things from my mind. And in prayer and meditation, I was just led back to you guys. So I'm grateful for that. So I love the fact that may you find him now, you know, the exclamation mark at the end of now. And I need to remind myself of that daily with my, you know, with my steps, with my program, with my prayer and meditation. I just need to be where my feet are. You know, that's the most important thing. And I always looked at my body as something I needed to conquer. You know, I needed to get to this weight or that weight or look like
that's,
this.
That's thank time, you. Paul.
Thank you. I'll just wrap up on that thought. And, because of the meeting and the big book, and I don't need to do that today. I don't need to conquer my body. I just need to continuously seek God's guidance. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Paul G. from Toronto. All right, guys, so that's it. So thank you to everybody who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour. We'll keep this wonderful study going. It'll be immediately following our closing. So the share ID for today, November 12, 2024, if you want to share it or hear it again, 21905. So we will now close with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lynn asks, will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kelly. Good morning, Vision. This is Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.